So I thought I'd start by introducing the topic, say a few words about bureaucracy and documents and why I think it's an important topic, and then say a few words about why it's important in Amazonia in particular. And then I'll hand it over to Olivier, who will speak for a few minutes and also outline the format of the workshop for the next couple of days. So the term bureaucracy, or literally rule by writing desk, was originally coined ironically, but I think it captures very effectively the centrality of writing to formal organisation and to modern forms of governance. Originally construed by Max Weber as the most rational and efficient form of legitimate domination, bureaucracy has always been closely associated with ideas of impersonality and hierarchy, formal roles and statuses. But for many of us today, I think it's fair to say that bureaucracy is even more closely associated with ideas of slowness and delays, unnecessary paperwork, complicated protocols, and other measures or conditions that are generally seen as tiresome or constraining of individuals. No matter how clearly rules and hierarchies are spelled out, bureaucracies are always at some level opaque and mysterious. They're not transparent. They're inscrutable and perhaps even illogical. And in fact, despite their self-representations as very rational and efficient, or perhaps even in part because of those representations, bureaucracies often represent precisely the opposite of that, precisely the opposite of rationality and efficiency. And this opacity can empower bureaucracies and bureaucrats themselves, who come to function as gatekeepers with control over flows of information and of resources. But if bureaucracies inevitably come to seem somewhat mysterious, they're also, and I think for similar reasons, often seen as dangerous. Hannah Arendt saw bureaucracy as an engine of rule by nobody. And what she meant was that bureaucrats are physically separated from the people that they act on, and as a result, they can behave in ways that they might otherwise find unconscionable or objectionable. And Weber also was deeply concerned that the organisational sophistication of bureaucrats and their degree of control over the dispensation of resources could give them a degree of power that could surpass even that of the sovereign, the ruler. So I think that bureaucracies can be confounding or difficult for people, in part because their laws and rules and regulations are oriented towards very impersonal or ideal, universal and abstract forms of behaviour and modes of organisation. People have pointed out that these rules and ideals can easily operate as depoliticising technologies. That is to say, they mask the exercise of power, conceal the exercise of power under the guise of an emerging ideal or perfect order, perfect efficiency. And bureaucrats themselves often downplay their own authorship of their actions, deliberately aiming at a kind of universality. This is the illusion of a perfectly even, unmediated, and rational vision. Ideal bureaucrats are supposed to work free from emotion, rather like scientists, to gaze from everywhere and from nowhere all at once. And indeed, like science, bureaucracy is a quintessential modernist technocratic apparatus, central to the constitution of and domination of bodies, with a set of ideals that are in some ways profoundly masculinist. So the bureaucratic ideals are often those that fetishize power and leadership, seek efficiency and speed, and deride nature as they champion culture. But the rules and regulations of bureaucracies also entail new forms of action and resistance. Newly worded rules, for example, simply constitute new ways around rules. New obstacles can mean new opportunities. The paradox of bureaucracies that attempt at rational human organisation almost inevitably result in ever more diverse and complex and heterogeneous bureaucratic worlds. So you find that forces of regularisation and centralisation are often matched by countervailing forces of decentralisation, fragmentation, pluralisation, and diversification. And so from being originally a way into the study of forms of domination, the study of bureaucracy now is often equivalent to a study of forms of resistance and subversion and agency. The Monique Nuyten's concept of state bureaucracy as a hope-generating machine encapsulates well, I think, the indeterminate and forward-looking nature of many bureaucratic encounters, where sometimes anything seems possible, where rather than producing a certain rationality and coherence, the bureaucratic machine generates enjoyments, pleasures, fears and expectations. While bureaucracy and documents have perhaps long been of interest to within sociology and political science, perhaps within history as well, they've only really recently begun to attract serious attention among anthropologists. And I think this shift has occurred partly because anthropologists now are more and more conducting fieldwork in bureaucratically structured sites like government offices and non-governmental organisations, scientific laboratories and academic institutions. But I think it's also because studying bureaucracy turns out to be very clearly an effective way of exploring ethnographically the everyday workings of the state. The workings of the state as it intersects with the lives of ordinary people in diverse social settings. And with the recognition that the state can't be treated as an entity separate from society as such, everyday encounters with bureaucracy emerges really central to the ways in which the state comes into being. So everyday bureaucratic and documentary practices are at the heart of how the state comes to be imagined and encountered and reimagined by the population. The state is effectively reproduced in and through these bureaucratic and documentary practices, existing not simply as a bureaucracy of regulation, but also, as Veena Das has put it, as a spectral presence materialised in documents. The academic literature on bureaucracy and documents, even within anthropology, is really quite considerable now, and it's difficult to summarise, and I won't attempt to try and summarise it. But I think one recent trend is very clear, and this recent trend involves paying serious attention to the materiality of bureaucratic worlds. That is to say, to the material and situated dimensions of bureaucratic knowledge, especially in the form of documents and files, archives, registers, and so on. It's been noted with some irony that it's only now that we've started to pay serious attention to the materiality of paper itself, when the very existence of paper seems threatened by new technologies like the internet and smartphones, e-readers, you know, the paperless office. And it's only when paper seems threatened with extinction that we start to take it so seriously. But for Weber, who argued that bureaucratic administration means fundamentally domination through knowledge, the organisation and circulation of written materials was conceptualised as analogous to formally structured social organisation and interaction. So for Weber, writing established the stable relationship between words and things that he thought was necessary for bureaucracies to effectively implement regimes of control. But today, and in this recent literature, bureaucracies are definitely no longer simply understood as bureaucratic discourses, that is, aren't understood simply as texts or as semiotic constructions that are separate or abstractable from their material instantiation in the form of files or forms or reports and graphs and so on. Recent studies have shown how documents may promote control, coordinate perspectives and activities, and act as tools in the construction of fixed and shared meaning. How documents and related technologies mediate or shape social interaction and knowledge production, or how the material form of documents engenders particular types of political, ethical or ethnographic subjects. So the form or the aesthetic features of documents are things like paragraphs and margins and tables and subtitles, fonts and all that kind of thing could turn out to be just as important as the content of the documents themselves and as essential for eliciting a sense of appropriateness, the appropriateness of particular documents that's central to their efficacy. So documents may be constitutive of social relationships as material forms or substances that circulate, connecting as well as perhaps separating individuals and groups. Documents aren't simply instruments of bureaucratic organisations, but are themselves constitutive of bureaucratic rules, ideologies, knowledge, practices, subjectivities, objects, outcomes, and even the organisations themselves. In some ways, the ethnographic study of documents recalls earlier work in anthropology on orality and literacy. I'm thinking, for example, of the work of Jack Goody, which, among other things, showed how the material characteristics of written texts distinguish them from speech. So related issues such as the qualities of paper and typefaces, mode of inscription, organisation of graphic space, physical composition and compilation, stamps and letterheads may all turn out to be revealing of the ways in which documents mediate social action. So documents invite study in ways that emphasise aesthetics, affect and emotion, as well as signs and symbolism. Many of these issues are especially relevant in the context of contemporary Amazonia, a part of the world that, at least at first glance, seems about as far removed from bureaucracy as one could possibly get or hope to get. And to be sure, at first glance at least, the ostensibly formal, impersonal, rigid and hierarchical characteristics of bureaucracy could not be more at odds with the generally flexible, fluid, informal, egalitarian and personal nature of Amazonian sociality. This disjuncture is, of course, one of the reasons why I think this workshop stands to make an important contribution to current discussions of topics like bureaucracy and documents that have mostly been studied in complex, highly literate, industrialised societies. Yet on the one hand, their very strangeness, the very strangeness of bureaucracy, might be precisely what makes bureaucracy and documents of such interest to native Amazonian peoples, for example, as emblems of whites and the epitome of otherness. Bureaucracy seems to be a central ingredient of Latin American statecraft more generally, and the great emphasis placed on documents in urban and national contexts is of obvious interest to Amazonian peoples themselves. Certainly, as many of the papers in this workshop, I think, show, documents and the emerging forms of mastery with which they're associated now constitute a key means of establishing relationships with whites and with national society for securing resources and staking claims to recognition. On the other hand, the distance may not be so great after all, the distance between fluid, egalitarian Amazonian sociality and the formality of bureaucratic worlds. Because bureaucracies often turn out in practice to be much more personalised, more flexible than we realise, with a lot greater room for human discretion and judgment and manoeuvring. And conversely, and again as shown by some of the papers in this workshop, elements of formality and hierarchy aren't entirely absent in Amazonian societies. And writing, in particular, seems to find parallels in the form of painting and design and ritual techniques of various kinds. So all this leads to some very interesting possibilities for exploring points of articulation and congruence and dissonance while revealing key features of Amazonian social life, old and new, as well as processes of change. So as noted, our suggestion isn't that the conception or use of documents can simply be reduced to pre-existing practices or understandings, nor that these documents represent some kind of radical change. Instead, what we'd like to do is to explore how documents in bureaucracy are now taking their place alongside other modes of action and interpretation, offering in the process a unique window onto key features and tensions of social and political life in the region today.